Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us all hope. All right, there are a few of you. All right, good job. So today we're talking about this passage from Isaiah. And this passage gives the people of Israel a hope when there's not much to be hoping for. I won't have that much fun. All right, so you don't have to do that. And so it makes you think about this world in which we live. And I was just starting thinking about, you know, this world in which we live. Has it changed much, you know, since when Isaiah wrote his piece? Some realities that I've experienced the past few weeks is this: when we choir went to New York City, Annie and I, we went to the Radio Hall, the Music Hall, Radio City Music Hall, and we saw the Rockettes, their Christmas show. And one thing that surprised me is, as you waited in line before you could go into the theater, they had people checking bags, all right? They had people with kind of those magnets or whatever to see if there was any bomb stuff. And then you had to walk through a security gate to see if you were carrying any metal. It's like, wow, that, you know. But that's the age that we live in, right? Where it's better to be safe. I'd rather they do that than someone bring a bomb into that center. That's the age in which we live. We also are living in an age where there's war. This is a picture of a bombed out part of Syria. There's so much unrest in Syria with ISIS and now a civil war that you look at the results of people battling people for territory, for governorship. And you look at the destruction and you say, that's just the age in which we live. Maybe you've dealt with this too, but yesterday I got a text from one of my coworkers who had an email from Andy Albert saying, hey, I could really use some help. Can you send me a gift card? And of course, it wasn't from my email address, but somebody who was using my name who had gotten Katie's address. And she sent me a text. Is this you? It's just, I didn't think it was, but how often are people fishing or seeking to get ahead through electronics and emails and phone calls and phishing and identity theft, that it can take so much stress and worry and you wonder, is this person real? Do they really need help? And it's kind of scary. That's the world in which we live. And so as we think about this world in which we live, I want you to hear the world that Isaiah described. This is what his words from last week. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, here's the good news today. This is the age in which we live. This is what Isaiah is describing. We're living in this age today. Isaiah is writing at a time when Israel is facing threats from every side. Assyria and Babylon coming to take them from their home, to take them away from the land in which they possessed. And eventually, Jerusalem is toppled, and all that's left is, if you will, a burning stump. And yet, in the midst of this rubble, in the midst of this nation that has been torn asunder, Isaiah gives this hope, right? Isaiah offers a glimpse of what is to come. He says this, and read this with me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. If you notice, the branch is a capital B. Because who is this shoot going to be? Jesus. It's the Messiah. It's the hope of the one upon whom the Spirit of God would be poured out upon. And so as we prepare for Christmas, we prepare for the birth of our Savior, God incarnate, the Word made flesh, born and placed in a manger. I'm not sure how well you can see it up on the PowerPoint, but do you notice that on top of the manger, there's another shape, a shadow. It's the shadow of a cross. Because not only was Jesus born as a man, he was also God. And Jesus was born so that he may live a perfect life and then on the cross die for the sins of the world, to die for the brokenness of the cosmos. Jesus was sent by God to make things right, to usher in a new age. And so Jesus, through his birth, his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death on the cross, the empty tomb on Sunday morning, Christ is risen? He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And then Jesus ascended into heaven so that he could pour out the Holy Spirit, that the church might reign here on earth and Jesus reign over the church as Lord. And so right now, we are living in what? The Messianic Age. Yes! But you might say, really, Pastor? It doesn't feel any different than what it was before. You know, this past week, did you read about the shooting that happened at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida? You know, the shooting that happened there, a terrorist attack. One was shouting, "Down with evil United States." Others were on their phones or videos taking video of the carnage. This is the world that we live in. And yet, while we live in this world, Jesus is on the loose. Jesus is at work judging. You know, as I think about the man who killed and had this terrorist attack in the United States, honestly, I want him punished. I want people to know that if they're doing evil in the United States, that there's punishment, that there's justice. But when Jesus comes, it's a different type of justice. Jesus initiates this whole new concept of justice where we hear in Isaiah, "He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor. He will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And then he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked." Did you catch that? Jesus is not going to judge by our outward appearances. He's not going to judge by what his eyes see or his ears hear. He's going to look into our hearts. He's going to judge us, not only by our actions, but by our thoughts and the desires of our heart. The truth is, when you and I look at people, we see the differences. The differences in skin color, the difference of where they grew up in the different parts of the world. We see people, you know, sometimes, and we put them in boxes. We make judgments based upon what we see. But Jesus says he's not going to do that in this new kingdom. He's not going to judge by where we've come from. He's not going to judge by the color of our skin. In fact, he's going to put us all in one big box. All of humanity, for all have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. When Jesus looks at this world and looks at humanity, he sees a people who need a Savior, a people who need someone to love and be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Someone who needs hope in the midst of the brokenness of this world. A person, a people who are looking for God to make things right. But notice that Isaiah says that not only will the Savior come to judge the heart, but those who are evil, those who reject God's word, the word of the Savior will be like a sword coming out of his mouth, a rod that will strike down his oppressor. that Jesus will bring judgment, that the wrongs will be made right, that there will be vindication for the meek, the poor who live in this world. For you and I, that means we look to the cross. You and I, when we are broken, when we don't know which way to turn, when we look in this world and say, God, help. God says, I've already helped. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to usher in a world of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of people instead of fighting, of saying, I love you, even when they're enemies. This isn't something that we do on our own. This is something that God does through us and for us through his Holy Spirit for his son, Jesus Christ. For I think the reality is as much as we look about the events around that happen around the world, so many things that may trouble our hearts and our lives, the reality, instead of going home today, Annie, is not going to be perfect or all picked up. It's going to be not a pit. I won't say that. But there's going to be stuff. There's going to be a mess, all right, that we need to do some work, okay? And we do have to put our Christmas stuff up. And it takes a family to do that. But so often, instead of the lion sitting down with the lamb, we bicker and we pick on one another. But Jesus says that there's something going to happen. There will be a day when it will be made right, when the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And who's going to lead them? A child. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There will be a time when the whole earth will know of Jesus. Isn't that our Great Commission? Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of who? All nations. In another passage, Jesus says, start in Jerusalem. Go to Samaria. Go to Judah. Go to the very ends of the earth. What are we taking to this world? The good news of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, the good news of Jesus changes everything. Starting with you and me. It changes our hearts. It changes us. That instead of, you know, thinking about what's just good for us, Jesus changes us to love one another as he has loved us. To pick up even when you'd rather be watching a football game, all right? To do the things that are sacrificial, to forgive even when you want to hold on to that grudge. The age of the Messiah starts with you and me, because this is the hope against all hope, the hope that there is hope for you and for me, because we know our shortcomings, we know our failings, but God loved you and me so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to usher his kingdom, his forgiveness, his love in your heart and my heart. And you know what the hope of God is? That you and I, his church, will make a difference in Talmadge, in Akron and all the suburbs, in Ohio, in the United States, even to the very ends of the earth. That's my hope. May God accomplish this through us by the power of his Son. In Jesus' name.